Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
All right, Disruption Zone, we'll welcome into the program State Senator Max Wise. Sir, how are you?
Hey, doing great, Leland. Thanks for having me on today.
It's good to talk to you again. I know you've been, your background in law enforcement and other things has led you to be very passionate about school safety. There's been a lot of talk about school safety since the Marshall County shooting. And, you know, you're trying to find the best way to keep our kids safe. And you've put together a bill that would basically make sure that our kids are not sitting ducks when the next unfortunate school shooting takes place.
You're exactly right. Senate Bill 8 that we've introduced this legislative session is basically almost a part two of what we did in 2019, which that was Senate Bill 1. That was the priority bill of both chambers. That was called the School Safety and Resiliency Act. So during the interim, the period between May and November of 2019, we were able to do another listening session, listen to our superintendents, our SROs, mental health professionals, to kind of draw upon what Senate Bill 1 may have left out that can be improved upon or any revisions. So all we're trying to do is basically, you know, continue to make our schools in Kentucky a safe place, and that's through personnel, structures, and protocols, and also trying to have that culture of connection with students. And one of the things that's really grabbing a lot of people's attentions is I put in the bill that SROs shall be armed with a firearm, which I believe makes common sense. And I think if you asked the majority of Kentuckians, they would say the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if you have no one who can respond, I was talking to a safety expert the other day, and they were talking about the school shooting in Parkland. And, you know, the law enforcement response there, despite the coward of Broward, as they call him, was 1.5 minutes.
Yep.
And 1.5 minutes is all it took to kill 9 people. And they were talking about how there were 5 different points in the school in which that shooter could have been interrupted and taken down had there been somebody in that school that was armed. And instead, we sent coaches in unarmed because that particular police department wouldn't want to go in, and that guy was killed.
Right.
So, I mean, they were complete sitting ducks because no one could fight fire with fire.
Yeah. You know, last session, we had a lot of pushback from anyone that was wanting us to arm teachers. So we didn't go down that path. And I just felt like, as well as other legislators within my Republican Party and also in the House, that, you know, let's booster SROs. And we didn't put in the bill last session, in Senate Bill 1, that they had to be armed. It was just basically a foregone conclusion that if you're having a law enforcement officer in the schools and contracted by the school boards, that they would be armed. However, we need to strengthen that because we still have not seen the Jefferson County Public Schools make a decision by their school board on their security resource officers.
Right.
And so, you know, they keep saying to me, we're working on it. We're working on it. Well, you know what? How much longer do you have to work on something like this that is going to protect teachers and students? And if there's any school district that needs it, it's the largest school district in Kentucky,
right,
in my opinion.
Right. Is there have there been any studies on this? Because here's all the pushback I always hear. Like, first of all, if you talk about arming teachers, there's all kinds of pushback, and it's counterintuitive, but it should be the other way around. It shouldn't actually be counterintuitive. But the talk is, like, if you have an SRO and he's got a gun, then they'll wrestle him and take the gun away. Like, that's the pushback I hear a lot. How do you feel about that argument?
You know, I mean, I just don't see in today's times that you're going to have students that are going to be looking to, you know, rush an SRO within the school and say, let's take down the SRO.
Right.
The people that we're putting in there also in these SRO positions are going to be receiving 120 hours of training. I mean, and that's across the board. I mean, trainings on de-escalation strategies, as well as racial bias and all types of things that they're going to be getting. And we're looking at getting the best of the best. And a lot of it's about relationships.
Right.
You know, we want that SRO to be the person in the school that could be a mentor and maybe lead kids into, you know, being a father figure or a female figure, whoever it may be for these young people. And heck, it could lead them into wanting a career in law enforcement. And so, yeah, I'm just very supportive of SROs. I think we've got a great association of our SROs in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And so, you know, any pushback I'm getting on this has been very, very minimal. I will tell you, I don't represent Jefferson County, but I've had a number of teachers and parents, even before the bill got filed and afterwards, saying, please do something to help our schools over here. So, you know, even though I don't represent that district, as the chairman of the education committee, I want to make sure that if I'm passing a bill, it's for all of Kentucky, that we could be a model for other schools and other states how to do it right.
I'm talking to State Senator Max Wise. You're a law enforcement guy. Let's talk about the nuts and bolts of this. First of all, how much will this cost the taxpayers? I mean, is this where the state would send money to schools to say, here, hire a couple of SROs? Or are the schools still responsible for deciding whether they want them or not? How would this bill work in terms of, is it going to put an armed SRO in every single school, and what would that cost?
Great question. Since I'm not the A&R chairman, that's where that is going to have to come from in terms of the funding for Senate Bill 1 of last year and also with Senate Bill 8. So the way I see it, it's probably this session, and this is not going to be, with funding for school safety, a one-time budget fix of saying, okay, we're going to donate X amount of dollars in 2020 and that's going to solve the issue. I think this has to be every 2 years. We have to continue to look at school safety. So in my perfect world, I think we will have to do a phase one looking at first infrastructure. I think we have to look at schools and say, okay, newer schools probably have the monitor to buzz people in, locks the doors at the front entrances. Those that want to do metal detectors, whatever it may be, let's have a pot of money that's going to first go towards infrastructure. I think you're going to see anywhere from $15 to $20 million. We've done a really good job of surveying school boards and superintendents, finding out what their needs are. I think you're probably going to see in the 2020 budget, that's what it's going to focus on, is infrastructure. Yeah. And then I think we come back in 2022, I think that's where we have to start looking at SROs. I think that right now we have a lot of school districts that have been able to partner up with their sheriff's departments, getting retired state police, those that already have SROs. But I think that's where it's going to have to come into the budget in the future, of SROs. And then also what we're looking to do as well is more mental health professionals. I think that's almost as big of a component than SROs, is making sure we've got enough school social workers, school psychologists, and those mental health licensed professionals that schools can be able to use to help those students that need it the most.
This is something else I want to hit on this. And I know we're talking about the SRO bill, and I love this bill. I think this is a no-brainer. But one thing that bothers me about the discussion surrounding school shootings is that we're not actually talking about the real problem. You're addressing a real problem here, and this is not a criticism.
Right.
You're addressing a problem. But what I am concerned about, and I've said this many times before, okay, we're looking at the tip of an iceberg here. Okay, when we have a school shooting, it's horrible. And the media jumps in and they amplify it, and we go on for days about taking people's guns away. And it's all, I sit back and I just go, this is asinine. Because this is the tip of the iceberg. Since the advent of the smartphone, the number of young people who have spiraled into depression, self-image issues, and then ultimately suicide is astounding. And the rate directly correlates with social media, the rise of social media, and the lack of committed family units for these kids. And added in there are the antidepressant drugs that we put these kids on because, I don't know, they're not paying attention in class and we decide to diagnose them with something. So there's this cabal here that sits up. You have this horrible situation. It's a perfect storm. The tip of the iceberg is where you have young men who don't have male role models in their lives acting out what that violence inside them is. But the bigger part of the ice underneath is all of this mental illness. So, and I know you're a state legislator, and that's not where your job is to, certainly not legislate how we're supposed to live our lives. But I just want to talk about that issue for a minute and get your thoughts on, like, how do we move forward with restoring the family unit, with restoring, holding that up as a good thing, with restoring commitment and morality and a moral compass for our society? Because until we do that, we're always going to be trying to figure out which holes to put our fingers in the dam as it continues cracking all around us.
You know what? You have just laid out a perfect floor speech that should be given on the House and Senate floor. I couldn't agree with you more.
Steal it. I don't care.
It is perfect. And, you know, we even put, when we did Senate Bill 1 last year, we put in there even for suicide prevention awareness that we would now require at the middle school level, even bringing in for one day a year that they would have to have a program that would be someone who's a parent or someone that would talk about suicide prevention. Because you're right, Jefferson County and other counties across the Commonwealth are seeing these numbers escalate to such a high number. It's heartbreaking to see.
Yeah.
It's social media. I've got four children at home. I understand, you know, the access that they have to social media and the different things that come within, you know, like you said, a self-image of things that are, it's amazing to see the difference of how you and I grew up and then how a child today grows up into the world and what's around them. I worry too about the prescription drugs, about Avitrol and some other things that have been prescribed. I just had my office this morning, a medical professional talking to me, because you have other groups and other professions like nurse practitioners and PAs, physician's assistants, that now want to prescribe more narcotics, just like our medical doctors do. I don't know if that's the answer. You know, I don't know if it's always about prescribe. The moral fabric of the family is starting to crumble. I represent a South Central rural community of seven counties, of where we still eat together, we still pray together, and we still are a community. But you don't see that everywhere. Not everyone is Mayberry like it used to be. I don't know if I can legislate morality. I don't know if I can legislate family values, but we have to get back to that. We have to get back to the core crux of, you know, who we are as a country, and not get so tied into that we have to feel like we have to give up our beliefs and our family values because someone at the highest level is got their feelings hurt, and we have to all of a sudden become part of what becomes a norm of a major, you know, urban city or something like that. I don't know. It's just,
well, we just, I don't think it's a legislatable thing. I just think that as a companion to our legislatable fixes are things like this: SROs, arming teachers in schools, doing what we've got to do to make sure our kids are not sitting ducks. Those are legislative fixes. But along with that,
exactly,
I want to see more of our leaders talking about, you know, look, not everybody's got the same exact set of moral values, and I wouldn't want to impose that on anybody.
Right.
I just want us to have a return to that sense of a sort of a national moral compass, a state moral, a community moral compass. This is, you know, Fox News did an interesting spread on like 27 of the last 28 mass shooters, and 27 of the last 28 had all had no father figure in their life. That's an astounding statistic to look at that and say, we have a problem here, you know?
Yeah.
I remember how hard it was growing up, that soup of hormones you're dealing with. And if it's not guided, and I think our culture today is doing everything it can to destroy fathers. It makes them look like stupid potbelly dolts that don't do anything and losers that sit around and watch TV and drink beer. And that's what we're upholding as the standard father unit today. And I think that's wrong.
I agree with you. I spoke the other day to someone. I used to, when I was in graduate school, I volunteered to do Big Brothers Big Sisters. And I talked to someone the other day with that organization, and they said that today they have such a hard time getting male figures to volunteer to be a big brother. And there's a waiting list that's like six pages deep of young men just wanting someone to help fill a void. Our foster care system has tripled since 2014 of what it used to be.
Right.
We can't anymore pay for kinship care. You've got grandparents now raising children. This is all across the state. And so those are issues that go to the core of responsibility and not being able anymore to just, you know, I don't know the answer of the opioid epidemic. There's so many things that are driving all of these problems that we have. But I really believe we have to get back into the school systems with mental health professionals. And there's groups like Jefferson County, Dr. Joe Bargione, a retired school psychologist that I've worked with. And they've done programs like ACEs and Bounce and some of these to get into the heart of these kids of understanding what's wrong and trying to offer help and assistance.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, listen, I appreciate that you've been carrying this banner for a couple of years. I know you're passionate about it. You know, and maybe if there's a combination of people starting to talk about these cultural issues again in our society and a couple of these legislative fixes, maybe we can rest a little more easy at night. Senator Max Weiss, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it.
Leland, I appreciate you as always, sir. Have a great day.
All right, you too.